Good morning. How is everybody? All right, not too enthusiastic. I feel you. Well, this is our first spring service. I said that this morning, too. Fall. It's our first fall service. As you can see by some of the fall decorations, our new launch fall logo. So we're really excited to kind of launch into fall, pun intended. And the weather seems kind of nice, too, right? So, but anyway, so y'all want to worship today? All right, cool. That's why y'all showed up. So let's stand and worship together.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Your grace is enough.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Great is your love and justice, God.
Amen.
You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Your grace.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough,
oh,
your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide and know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. I can hardly think as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You may be seated.
Good morning, Asbury, guests, members. So good to have you here today. What have we got going on? Hog on the Hill. All right. That would be the Napa Valley Hill. You need to be so pumped about this. October 14th, be inviting your friends, be inviting your neighbors, be inviting your coworkers. Look at all that fun. And it's free. Now, you can't offer them a better opportunity than that. So let's get ready to think about what we can give to the silent auction. Let's think about who we can be inviting, and let's make this the very best 4th annual Hog on the Hill. How about that? All right. And we are having our September suppers and study on Wednesday evening, beginning at 5:45 in the warehouse. You'll have a meal there for you, catered by Corky's. It's $8 for adults, $5 for kiddos. And so we want you to come and fellowship and then find a study that you might enjoy doing with Bible half-truths or Psalms. And, of course, our children and youth have their activities as well. And today we do want to have a special welcome to those here representing the call and those families who have participated in this wonderful ministry through adoption and fostering. So we want to be sure and keep one another lifted in prayer, and we're excited about today. And we've kind of done that. So let's say hello to everyone around us and be sure and sign the attendance register. Thank you.
So I want to dear, I count The Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're chosen. Everything I want held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Bring me on myself, I belong to you. Lead me, lead me to the cross. To your heart, to
you may be seated, and at this time, we're going to invite the kids forward for a children's moment with me! Yeah. Come on down, kid. Makes me feel like I'm in a Western saloon. How are you? My name's Caleb. I have a question for you. Oh, man. I've got more. Hey, guys. What is this? A phone. So when someone calls me, what should I do, depending on who it is? I should answer it. Caller ID, you can just decline it or ignore it. But what if one of your parents or one of your friends calls your name? What should you do? Answer it, right? You were close. So today I want to talk to you about answering Jesus' call. And in our Bible story today, Jesus is walking with a group by the Sea of Galilee. And he calls out to Peter and Andrew, who are fishermen. And he says, come, follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. You see, what Jesus wanted for Peter was for Peter and Andrew to help him teach people about God's love for them. And when Jesus called out to them, did Peter and did Andrew say, nah, man, not right now. Come back tomorrow, Jesus. You don't know? They didn't say that. They dropped their nets and immediately answered his call. And you know, Jesus is still calling on us today. He's called me and you and everyone here to share God's love with everyone we come across. And, you know, this summer, Jesus called me to move to Little Rock and start working here and transfer law schools. And I answered the call. So when Jesus calls you to do something, to share God's love, or make a change or whatever it is, I hope and pray that you will be like Peter and Andrew and drop what you're doing and answer that call. Don't send him to voicemail or expect him to, like, text you or Facebook message you. Snapchat, Kick, you know, young. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that we answer you when you call on us, and we want so badly to share your love every day to everyone we see. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. See ya. So at this time, we're going to invite Kayla Stout to talk about, and it is the Call Sunday. So she's going to come talk to you a little bit about the call. For a round of applause, you know? There it is!
Thanks. As he said, I'm Kayla Stout. I am the call representative for Asbury, so if you're ever interested, find me. I'll be happy to talk to you. I'm definitely not the most experienced foster adoptive parent here, but I do have some experience, so I was going to share a little bit with you all about that today. All right, my husband Joseph and I started looking into foster care in January 2016. We weren't both completely sold on the idea until after our first information meeting, where we heard from a teenager who had grown up in foster care and had recently been adopted. Hearing her story was really inspiring for us. The call had sponsored the information meeting, and then they helped us get started on our application process. The call also hosted our 40-hour training in 2 weekends instead of over 10 weeks where DCFS offers it. So that was much more convenient for us with our children, well, child at the time. Lost my place. The call was there with us every step of the way, guiding us through the process, and we were officially in an open foster home in July of 2016. We had an 18-month-old and had just found out we were expecting when we received our first placement, a 3-week-old baby, baby boy. And we weren't told much about him, just a brief bit about why he was removed from his parents. And he lived with us for almost a year before his parents' rights were taken. We were asked if we were interested in adopting him, and we, of course, said yes, since he'd been living with us for a while and we'd fallen in love. And that's how Judah became an official member of our family. And you guys, I'm sure, have seen him running around the church. But why foster care? Why would we accept children into our home knowing that they're most likely going back home to their family? That's asking for heartbreak, right? We hear that from lots of people who tell us they could never foster because they would get way too attached and then the kids would go home. But I think people kind of think about this backwards sometimes. Instead of letting the fear of getting too attached deter us from foster care, we should actually let the fear of these kids never feeling truly attached to someone drive us towards it. These kids need people that are willing to love them enough to hurt for them when they go. So if you know you'll get attached, that means you'd likely be a fantastic foster parent. James chapter 1, verse 27 tells us, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." Let me repeat that. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. In plain English, God calls us, the body of Christ, to care for foster children in our state. Did you know that if one family from each church in Arkansas became a foster family, we could solve the foster care crisis in our state? Or that if one family out of every 10 churches in our state adopted a child from foster care whose parents' rights had been terminated, there would be no children waiting for homes? It's pretty amazing, right? There are about 8,200 children in foster care every year, and only about 1,600 foster homes to care for them. 20 children come into care every day in our state. And that's why the call exists, because God calls us to stand in the gap for these children and make a difference in their lives. All right, I hear you. But Kayla, we can't accept any kids into our home right now. We're too busy. We have too many kids of our own. I hear you. We're not fostering right now either. We have 3 under 3. It's not possible. But there's other things we can be doing. One of my favorite quotes that I found through the call, and it's actually printed on the back of all the call t-shirts, is this. Adopt. If you can't adopt, foster. If you can't foster, mentor. If you can't mentor, volunteer. If you can't volunteer, donate. And if you can't donate, educate. So that quote gives us a really good idea of what we could be doing if we can't adopt or foster right this very minute. So caring for the orphan can look like all of these things. Working with Project Zero to adopt one of these children, pictured over here on our wall. Fostering, supporting foster and adoptive families by babysitting, bringing dinner, dropping off a box of diapers. It's real easy to help out. Mentoring a teen, volunteering in the call's clothing closets for foster families, or rocking foster babies still at Children's Hospital. Donating for the Walk for the Waiting, which a lot of you helped us out with this year. So there's so many ways to help, and as Christians, we're called to do something. So what will you do? I'll be around after the service if you have any questions, and I have some information from Project Zero for you, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kayla. That was beautiful. Before we enter into a spirit of prayer, I'd like for you to do something. I'd like for you to turn your head toward the gallery wall. I'd like for you to fix your eyes upon any one of those children. Look at them carefully. Memorize their face. Now let us bow and pray, thinking about what we have just seen. Most loving Father, you are our Father, and we are privileged to be called your children, honored to be called your children, awed to be called your children. We have the face of one of your children printed upon our minds right now. You created each and every one with a life and a plan. You created each and every one to be loved and to be cared for and nurtured. So God, if our homes aren't able to take one in this moment, maybe there will be a moment when you will call us, O God, and tell us now is the time. And if we cannot open our homes, as Kayla mentioned, then we can educate or mentor or donate. Help us to not just pray that, but to act upon it. God, we celebrate children today, and we celebrate your kingdom because you reminded us, unless we enter into our faith like a child, we do not enter into the kingdom. So help us to love. Help us to care. Direct us where we should go. And help us to remember the faces as we pray and discern what we can do to bring joy to that face. We thank you for this day, for all of the feelings we have, for all the blessings we enjoy, for all the hopes we have, for all the hurts we are coping with. We ask you, O God, to empower each and every one of us to seek your grace, to confess our sin, and to reap your forgiveness as we share forgiveness with others. Always be with our country as we will pray. Always be with our world, O God, that we may practice peace. And now as believers in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray this prayer and the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hopefully this week, for our church membership, you received your covenant card and your pledge commitment card. The covenant lists the ministries of the church and gives you an opportunity to pray concerning each of those ministries as to which ministry God might be calling you to. And you may say, but I do this every year, but this year we had some new ministries that I want to make sure that you saw and we'll pray about. Be sure that you, as a part of the body of Christ, engage in that important covenant that together we do the wonderful ministries of the kingdom. And you will also have received a financial commitment card. There are some things in the church we're doing to grow and increase, and you'll want to be sure and prayerfully consider being able to grow and increase your pledge to support those. So as we give our tithes and offerings today, may we ask God to bless all that we are doing, all that we are being, in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious God, what a privilege it is to share of the bounty that you bless us with. What it is an honor to share in the body of Christ, the work of the kingdom through our giving. So God, we ask that you bless these gifts now and forevermore. Amen.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Let us pray. Dear God, we ask that you be with Pastor Mary today as she gets up and she shares your word with these people, and allow us to open our minds and our hearts to answering your call, to receiving this message, to go out of these doors, share your love this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at one of Paul's letters. Today, the letter of Paul to the Romans. Hear this word. Many of you will be familiar with part of this passage, I am sure, as we look at verses 22 through 28. May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of God's holy word. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and travailed together until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. For we know that in everything God works for good, But those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, this is the word of God for the people of God. For the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Have you ever felt that? When you're trying to discern what it is that you should do, when you're trying to find strength to do what you need to do, and yet you just want to give in to what you're really feeling. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All throughout my ministry, I have encountered families who have adopted children. I greatly admire these persons who choose to adopt children, for it takes great sacrifice, it takes huge adjustment, it takes tremendous and deep love and commitment. Adoption gives children the opportunity to gain a family and probably a greater quality of life. I think of Lucy and Tom, a couple whom I knew in another church I served. And it was a second marriage for both of them. And Tom, who had been married before, had grown children. Lucy, who had been married before, had not had children. But in starting this new life with Tom and starting a new marriage, she desperately wanted together for them to raise a child. So in prayer and discernment and commitment, they just took a plane, went off to China. And of course, after much interrogation and paperwork, they were able to bring home the most darling baby girl you've ever seen, whom today is a beautiful young lady. What joy has been a part of their family. Adoption has more happy endings than not and has everything to do with both the dedication of the parents but also the dedication of the children to make this family work. It's a mutual covenant of love between parents and children, much like we have this covenant with God our Father, and we have commitment and covenant as children of God's. I think of Tony's cousin, Richard Duncan, who's right here in this congregation today. I'm going to venture to say it was some 50 years, approximately one way or the other, that Tony's uncle and aunt decided to adopt and bring Richard into the family. I cannot tell you what a blessing you are, this family. He's my brother, not my cousin. If he's my brother, he has to put up with more. Acts 2, 42 through 47. The new Christians are trying desperately to gain trust. Now, you just think about this a minute. You go from a different type of life, a different type of religion, where you're worshiping just about anything, a rock, tree, a cloud, and you go into this new relationship with this man named Jesus, who's not alive, but his spirit is alive, and it has empowered such a tremendous group of people that is growing in numbers day by day by day. And you have made a decision to believe in this man, this Son of God. We can understand what it is like for new Christians to gain trust. We can understand it perhaps in this way. We've had new families come and to join our church. And here are some of them. We have another wonderful new young family joining today in this service at the end. Now, Many of you have been a part of this church for a while. Certainly, I would gather to say most of you in this room have been a part of Asbury Family for at least a year. Some 40, 50, or more years. Now, you think about what it is to be a new member and come into a new church. Try to remember what that felt like. In many ways, you're somewhat adopted into a new family because there was already a family existing. But this new member is coming in and you are embracing them and they are embracing you. And imagine the kind of trust that takes. Imagine the kind of hesitation there is to get involved for fear of rejection, for fear of not quite finding your niche within the family. I mean, the church is a wonderful community of faith, but it is made of human beings with flaws but great intentions. And so I think we need to be more cognitive and develop more fully our awareness and sensitivity of those who are becoming a part of the family so that we always, always are aware that they are among us and with us and that they are looking to us to mentor them, as we said earlier about these young people, to mentor them into the family of God. For heaven knows we don't want anyone ever to feel like an outsider. Now, in Acts 2, and I keep going back to this because this is what it reminds me of as Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. The early church was just beginning, and Jesus had empowered the disciples, the apostles, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they were preaching powerfully. And there were new converts every single day. And again, they were vulnerable, though. It was all new. They were trying to figure this out, find their place. And that takes trust always, whether you're beginning a new job, beginning a new relationship, beginning marriage, beginning a new church, whatever it is, always, always, always our relationships must have trust or they will fail. So they were vulnerable in learning to trust, and hear what happened in this new church. The apostles were devoted to their teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Every day was a potluck. Every day was a way to trust. Every day was a time to share. There was no room for jealousy. There was no room for envy. There was no room for resentment. It wasn't mine, and I'm going to share a little bit with you. It was all or nothing. What's wrong with the church today is it's no longer all or nothing. If it was everything, bring out more chairs. If it was everything, no need for a pledge campaign. If it was everything, no need for sign-up sheets to volunteer for Hog on the Hill or anything else. Do you get it? How far removed have we come from the early church where it was all or nothing? God, forgive us. We've come so far away. God, strengthen us and make us committed to make it all or nothing. So we adopt into the family of God. If you're going to adopt into family within the home like you and I have, or if you're going to adopt into the church family, I think the very first thing that has to happen is awareness. Any change in life worth making is precipitated by awareness. You want to grow spiritually. You don't just say out loud, I'd like to grow spiritually. You do what you need to do to grow spiritually. You make the appropriate changes. You start reading your Bible a little more, or at least start reading your Bible if you're not. You pray a little more, or start praying if you're not. You start finding opportunities to fellowship with other Christians and do it a little more if you already are, or begin doing that if you're not. If you wake up one morning and go, "Oh, I've got kind of pain in my shoulder, and my knees aren't working like they used to, and golly, I'm tired all the time." Well, that would tell yourself that you need to get stronger physically. Do a little better with your diet. Start lifting some weights a little bit. Do more exercise. Do what you need to do to make the changes. Awareness. You just kind of have a moment of self-reflection and you go, "Who are my friends? Do I even have any real friends? Friends that I can tell what's burdening me?" You know, if you have that moment and you're kind of feeling alone, well, then you make the changes that you need to make in order to feel connected, in order to have a greater relationship. And so you reach out. I like to think that adoption is a way of reaching out. Someone in this room perhaps has a bit of a void. Maybe the children are grown up and gone and there's empty nesters, but there's still energy and love to give. Adoption is a way to fill the void as well as giving love to someone who desperately needs love and care. Wonderful, wonderful blessing. It fulfills a dual need. I mean, the adoptor and the one being adopted. The second thing I believe is hugely important is compassion. I mean, we can be as aware as we want to be, but unless we have compassion, all that awareness is pretty ineffective. Jesus was the model of compassion. We find in Matthew 9:36, for instance, Jesus had compassion on the crowds. It wasn't enough for him to just heal them. It wasn't enough for him to forgive their sins. He had to feed their bellies. So he called upon God and he had that miracle. And he was able to take care of all their needs that way. And again, he was doing work and taking care of needs in front of him. Stopping every time somebody needed healing. And he said these words with compassion. "They are like sheep without a shepherd." What an awful state to find yourself in. To be just doing your thing, going through day after day after day, like a robot almost. But no one's really guiding you. You're not really following anyone. You're not heeding anyone's direction. You're just doing your thing. Over and over, Jesus stopped what he was doing, healing his children, the children of God who were flawed, lame, sin-sick. Jesus treated each and every one with not only compassion but respect. In Zechariah, the prophecy, 7th chapter, 10th verse, it states, "Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." In other words, have compassion on those without parents. I was in a store once, and there was a child sitting on a little bench that was in the store. And as I was about to leave the store, I saw this little child and was kind of whimpering. I was about to go over to the child to see if I could help the child find his mother. But before I could get there, another woman came and sat down by the child. And At first, I thought maybe it was the mother just trying to calm him down. Then I realized it wasn't the mother. And I stayed right where I was to see what was happening. And the woman just started talking to the child and calming the child down. And it wasn't any time at all when the woman came, who was the mother, came and thanked the woman and made some excuse as to why she'd left him alone. But I thought, there was a woman who had a mode of adoptive agape love to calm down that child in a moment that it needed that kind of love. John 1, 10 through 13, John says about Jesus, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or will, but born of God." For the final thing, which is crucial to answering the call, is action. Because again, you can be as aware as you want to be, you can be as compassionate as you want to be, but unless you follow through with action, all of your energy is for nothing. The early church adopted the new converts, as we read just a moment ago, and all gave everything that they had. I mean, I want you to just, I mean, that's not just a sentence, okay? I want you to go back to the Jewish culture, to the Jewish day, when what they had was primarily passed down to them, and they sold their land that had belonged in the family for generations and gave their money to the apostles to be distributed evenly among those without. Now, how many of us would be willing to sell that which had been a legacy to us, that which was important to us, all of our days? How many of us would be willing to do that to help someone without? You see, that's what I was talking about a while ago, the zeal of Christ. You know, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. We're not taking it with us. It's a blessing from God to be nurtured and be good stewards of and to share. The new converts were not just takers, though. Not at all. They learned to follow the model of Christ. They learned that in what they received, they then shared and followed the way of Jesus. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers met together in Solomon's colonnade. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow," okay, y'all following this? "At least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Even the shadow of Peter held such holy power that the people would be healed, and they would be healed because they believed that even his shadow would do that for them. The sick and those tormented by impure spirits, all of them were healed." People were healed. They were physically and spiritually healed because of their belief. Many of us in this room today have got something in which we need to be healed. We've got a relationship that's gone sour. Everybody's got one of those kinds of relationships, whether it's a friendship, in the family, at work. How do you heal yourself of that? You have to excise it out of your heart. And the only way you can do that is ask Christ to do that for you. The great physician, also the great surgeon. to cut it out. We celebrate the call to adoption today. Wouldn't it be just a miracle if someone in this room decided to foster and sponsor a child, if not take one in to their home? May that be our prayer today. And may those who have already answered the call and adopted precious children, who, by the way, have become such blessings to us in Asbury Church, may we continue to encourage and pray for them, that all families may be made whole in the peace and the love of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The band and singers are going to come forward in just a moment to lead us in our final song. And as we begin to sing this final song, I would invite those families who are here today to come forward who have indeed been adopting or have adopted in the past or adopting currently or are here in our congregation. We want to stand as we sing and honor you. Honor you with our love. Honor you with our presence. Honor you with our prayers. Let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, you have called us. You have adopted us as sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. You told us to call you Abba, Father, and that through your love and grace, we were your children. We are your children. Lord, help us wake up every day and end it every day remembering what a privilege, what an honor it is that you would want us and call us your child. May we live in such a way that expresses that and gives thanks for that in the way we live each day. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's be standing and sing our closing song. And before I offer the invitation for any who would like to unite with this church, I would invite those families to come forward and to just be recognized at this time.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in, when death was arrested and my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance, when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more, and my shame was a ransom faithfully. Dead, and he called me his friend. Oh, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. darkness rejoiced as though heaven had arms.
Sing this out.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your love. It's your love.
I know following the service that you'll want to greet these wonderful people who have brought special, special life into their family and their homes. And you know Kayla and Joe Stout and Beth and Carrie Guidry who have fostered. And we're so grateful that you all have answered the call. And I invite now Amber and Alex Brown to come forward. I told you all we had a special treat, this beautiful young family coming today to join Asbury United Methodist Church. And in doing so, we're reaffirming their faith and reaffirming their baptism. And so, again, I know that you believe in God the Father, God the Son, your Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And in the United Methodist Church, I just ask this question then, as you're already a Christian disciple, will you practice your discipleship through the United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? All right. And I offer you the water just to remember your baptism in any way that you care to do so. I know that you'll want to greet Amber and Alex, so I'm going to invite them to go up front with me as I offer you this blessing. Oh God, you gave the call to Jesus Christ, your Son, to be our Savior. And we are here today because Jesus answered that call. We are Christians today because we have answered the call of Jesus Christ. As we go forward today, to whom will we offer the call? The call to either adopt or the call to be an adopted child of God by knowing Jesus as their Savior. May we go forward now in the love of God, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the communion and fellowship of His Holy Spirit now and forevermore. Amen.